From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Still with me, Stefan as well, and you will be listening to more information coming from Indonesia. And it seems that we would like to begin with the news, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo considering the repatriations of former ISIS members. Minister Sri Mulyani said the draft of tax omnibus law has been submitted to DPR. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that until now the repatriation of Indonesian citizens who were former members of Islamic countries in Iraq and Syria or ISIS from the Middle East is still in the process of being discussed. As reported by Antara, President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday emphasized the need to hold a limited meeting specifically to discuss the plan. According to the president, everything related to this matter must go through detailed considerations. He added that in the meeting a decision would be taken so that it could then be followed up immediately. Previously, Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrul Razi said the National Counterterrorism Agency would repatriate 600 Indonesian citizens who were members of ISIS from the Middle East. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the National Hero Monument Fatmawati Soekarno, the First Lady of the Republic of Indonesia, at Simpang Lima Ratu Samban, Bengkulu City on Wednesday afternoon. He said the First Lady Fatmawati Soekarno, who came from Bengkulu, is instrumental in her efforts to seize and defend the independence of the Republic of Indonesia. He saw the red and white heirloom flag, which was hoisted during the proclamations of Indonesian independence on August 17, 1945, at Jalan Pegangsaan Timur No. 56 in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo also said, as a First Lady, Fatmawati always supported the struggle of President Soekarno, motivating Bung Karno to fight for independence amid limitations during the colonial period. Fatmawati Monument, according to him, is an evidence of respect for the Indonesian people against the struggle of Fatmawati Soekarno. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the omnibus law draft related to taxations had been submitted to the Indonesian House of Representatives after meeting and consulting with Speaker of the DPR, Puan Maharani. Minister Sri Mulyani stated that the submission of the omnibus law draft is in accordance with the prevailing legislative mechanism which was sent to the DPR Secretariat. She also said that the presidential's letter had also been signed by President Joko Widodo along with the submission of the omnibus law to create employment. Minister Sri Mulyani added that for the next process, her side would follow the mechanism determined by the DPR. Meanwhile, she also mentioned that the new omnibus law draft to create employment will be submitted to the Indonesian Parliament this weekend. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Mandiri's Director of Finance and Strategy Silvano Rumantiro says that Indonesia has large capital, a stable economy to attract foreign direct investment. During a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, Silvano said that one of the factors that may drive the economy is investment growth. He added that in 2018, investment grew strong at 6.64%. Although in 2019, it slowed down as the political year ends, economic and political stability would improve. The Central Statistics Agency BPS noted that Indonesia's economy in 2019 grew 5.02%. This achievement slowed slightly compared to the economic growth in the 2018 period of 5.17%, and in 2017, of 5.07%. In 2019, gross fixed investment grew 4.45% lower than the previous year. Singaporean President Halimah Yacob arrived in Yogyakarta province on Wednesday. She was welcomed by Sultan Hamengkubuwono X and his wife, Gusti Kanjeng Ratu Hemas, at Yogyakarta Palace. President Halimah Yacob and Sultan Hamengkubuwono X held a close meeting. Director for Southeast Asia of the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Denny Abdi, explained that President Halimah Yacob's first visit to Indonesia was to further boost cooperation between the two countries, particularly in education and culture. This is the first time for Singaporean president's visit since she became president. Yesterday she was received by President Joko Widodo at the presidential palace. Her visit is to further enhance relations between the two countries. The focus of her visit was for people-to-people contact, education, culture, G2G. She visited Jogja and she was hosted by Sri Sultan, and tomorrow she will visit several locations including Gajah Mada University to see educational cooperation between Singapore and Indonesia. Meanwhile, the elder daughter of Sultan Hamengkubuwono X, Gusti Kanjeng Ratu Mangkubumi, explained that President Halimah really liked the wealth of Javanese culture at the Sultan's palace. President Halimah visited Gajah Mada University and held dialogues with students on Thursday. President Donald J. Trump was acquitted on both charges of his impeachment on Wednesday. The first article of impeachment, as noted by CNN, alleged that President Trump solicited the interference of a foreign government, Ukraine, in the 2020 United States presidential election. He did so through a scheme or course of conduct that included soliciting the government of Ukraine to publicly announce investigation that would benefit his re-election, harm the election prospects of the political opponent, and influenced the 2020 United States presidential election to his advantage. The second article, as noted by CNN, alleged that in his conduct of the office of President of the United States and in violation of his constitutional oath faithfully to execute the office of President of the United States and so, to the best of his ability, preserve, protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, Donald J. Trump has directed the unprecedented, categorical, and indiscriminate defiance and subpoenas issued by the House of Representatives pursuant to its sole power of impeachment. The result of the voting decision will read by Supreme Chief Justice John Roberts.
In this article of impeachment, 48 senators have pronounced Donald John Trump, President of the United States, guilty as charged. 52 senators have pronounced him not guilty as charged. Two-thirds of the senators present not having pronounced him guilty, the Senate adjudges that the respondent, Donald John Trump, President of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the first article of impeachment. The second article of impeachment. On this article of impeachment, 47 senators have pronounced Donald John Trump, President of the United States, guilty as charged. 53 senators have pronounced him not guilty as charged. Two-thirds of the senators present not having pronounced him guilty, the Senate adjudges that respondent Donald John Trump, President of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the second article of impeachment.
On January 15, 2020, the U.S. House of Representatives voted 228-193 to send the two articles of impeachment to the Senate for trial. At the Senate, a simple two-thirds majority, that is 67 votes, were needed in favor for the removal of Trump as President of the United States. However, both articles failed to garner the required support, ensuring President Trump of an acquittal. Senator Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah, was the only Republican who voted to remove Mr. Trump from office. Trump is just the third U.S. president ever to be impeached by the House of Representatives. More than 130 El Salvador residents have died after being deported from the United States since 2013. This was reported by Human Rights Watch, HRW, based in the United States on Wednesday. The HRW stressed the dangers faced by migrants under the strict immigration policy of the Donald Trump administration. In a report titled Deported to Danger, the HRW said it documented 138 cases of El Salvadorians who died after deportations, but stressed that the numbers might be much higher because there were no official figures. The HRW also found more than 70 cases of deportees who experienced sexual violence, torture, and other crimes are missing. President Donald Trump tightened U.S. immigration policies to make it difficult for Central Americans to seek asylum, forcing thousands of people to wait in Mexico when their cases are not decided. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's today's commentary. Regional contribution towards national economic growth dominated by Java. On Wednesday, February the 5th, Central Statistics Agency, or BPS, released a report about Indonesian economic growth in 2019, reached 5.02% year-on-year. Economic growth index in 2019 was lower than in 2018, that reached 5.17%. Head of Central Statistics Agency Suharyanto explained, Indonesian economic growth index was affected by various indicators. One of them was the global economic growth, including US-China trade war, geopolitical tension in Middle East, and the fluctuating commodity price. Suharyanto said the main contributor of Indonesian economic growth was steel from the household consumption, around 2.73% from the GDP. Then, investment reached 1.47%. Especially the regions that contributed the highest economic growth is Java Island, including Jakarta, East Java and Central Java in it, while Sumatra Island included North Sumatra, Riau and South Sumatra. Java contributed 59% of the national economy with 5.52% growth. Then, Sumatra gave 21.32% with 4.57% growth. Kalimantan had 8.05% with 4.99% growth. Sulawesi contributed 6.33% with 6.65% growth. Maluku and Papua gave 2.24% with minus 7.40%. Lastly, Bali and Nusa Tenggara contributed 3.06% with 5.07% growth. Seeing the economic growth and regional contribution that are still dominated by regions in Java and Sumatra, it can be said that the government's effort in boosting economic growth massively outside Java is yet to be able to replace Java and Sumatra as the main growth contributor. That means the government needs to do harder to realize Indonesian centrist concept in order to move the economy outside Java and Sumatra. For 2020, it is expected there will be increased contribution by regions outside Java and Sumatra towards the economic growth. There are some important measures to move economy in Java and Sumatra so that the economic growth contributes to the national economic growth. Firstly, connectivity development needs to be continued to reduce disparity between regions. Secondly, the government needs to encourage new growth magnets in the regions by boosting the bank credit distribution to the regions. Bank credit affects positively towards the economic growth, including regional growth. Bank credit distribution limit to the regions become a main factor that affects the Indonesian economic decrease. Back in 2019, Indonesia targeted credit to surpass 8.0%, while until the end of 2019, it was only able to surpass 6.0%. Anyhow, Indonesian people need to be grateful, because amidst the global economic growth, Indonesia's economy could still grow around 5%. However, being grateful doesn't mean being complacent and stop fighting. Instead, we need to keep trying to achieve the maximum growth. And listener, that was commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on February 6, 1922, when Navy Treaty was five countries was agreed in Washington. The treaty was an agreement which was signed by powerful countries of the winners of World War I, namely the United Kingdom, the United States of America, Japan, France, and Italy. The agreement made efforts to prevent weapon contests by limiting navy development. The treaty limited the construction of battleships, fighter cruisers, and aircraft carriers. Other types of the ship which were not limited were invaders, destroyers, and submarines. But the weight was limited to a maximum of 10,000 tons. The treaty was agreed on February 6, 1922. But in mid-1930s, Japan and Italy declared that they were no longer bound by this agreement, so that other countries which were previously signatories to this agreement also no longer carried out restrictions. Next event was in 1925, when Indonesian writer Pramudia Anantatur was born. Pramudia Anantatur, or familiar called Pram, is an Indonesian great literature. He has written 50 works translated into 42 foreign languages. His works consist of articles, short story, poems and novels, so that his works highly popularize his name in line with world literatures. His works contain of social criticism which made him often be sent to the jail. Pram had been arrested for 3 years in the colonial era and 1 year in old regime. Then during new regime, he was arrested for 14 years as political prisoner without litigation. He passed away in Jakarta on April 30, 2006. The last event was in 1952, when Elizabeth II was crowned to be Queen of the Great Britain. Elizabeth is the first daughter of King George VI. On February 6, 1952, King George VI passed away, and at the time Elizabeth II was proclaimed as head of Commonwealth as well as Queen of Commonwealth realms, namely the Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. Queen Elizabeth got married in 1947 with Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, and has 4 children, namely Charles, Anne, Andrew, and Edward. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cinta.
Thank you very much. You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. Next, information about Indonesia will be given in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Indonesian President Joko Widodo Planting Vetiver at the Landslide Location of Sukajaya. Bogor Regent Ade Yasin and President Joko Widodo planted tens of thousands of fragrant roots or vetiver in areas affected by landslides in Sukajaya District, Bogor Regency, West Java on Monday, February 3. The landslide hit the Sukajaya sub-district in early 2020. Bogor Regent Ade Yasin told Antara in Bogor on Monday, February 3, that preparations had been made for planting seeds. On January 27, a total of around 50,000 seedlings had been planted. He explained that the seeds of fragrant root or vetiver plants that have strong roots will be planted on every slope and cliff in Sukajaya District. It is hoped they can prevent landslides when bad weather conditions occur by holding the land in place. The regent said the planting of tens of thousands of fragrant root seeds was assisted by members of the TNI, given the planting area is difficult to reach. Not only fragrant root plants, President Joko Widodo also planted fruit tree seedlings on flat land. Thereby, the surrounding community can harvest the fruit. President Joko Widodo arrived in Harkat Jaya Village, Sukajaya Subdistrict, Bogor Regency on Monday morning to inspect the gully block and the landslides area, which had been planted with fragrant root plants. The president called on all parties to start planting the upstream land to prevent floods and landslides. According to the president, disaster prevention can not only be done by building a number of infrastructure at downstream area, but also must be accompanied by repairing damage in the upstream. Therefore, he asked all parties, starting from the local government, the National Disaster Management Agency, and the community, to start taking reforestation measures in their respective regions. The president stressed that some areas prone to flooding and landslides need some strategies from the government, not limited to structural approaches, but including revegetation effort like the planting of vetiver plants. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Di ujung rambut.
Thank you very much. You are still with us in The Voice of Indonesia. Next one will be about Indonesian culture or tourism destination. You'll be listening to the Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce you to Dewi Mandapa Beach in Lampung. Directly adjacent to Indian Ocean and Java Sea, Kosis Lampung province has many beautiful beaches. One of them is Dewi Mandapa Beach. The beach is located on Jalan Teluk Ratai, Gebang Village, Teluk Pandan Sub-District, Pesawaran Regency, Lampung province. It takes 1 hour to get to the beach from Bandar Lampung. To enter the beach, you have to pay a ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person, parking fee of 10,000 rupiah for motorcycle, and 30,000 rupiah for car. Once arriving at Dewi Mandapa Beach, you will be welcomed by a cluster of green mangrove and a blue sea. The beach also offers soft sand and refreshing ocean water. The water is so clear, you can directly watch various kinds of underwater marine life, which can be more enjoyed by snorkeling. Those who do not bring their own snorkels can rent the equipments for 40,000 rupiah per unit. Dewi Mandapa Beach is quite unique because it has Pulau Cinta or Love Island located on the beach. If you want to enter the Love Island, you will pass the bridge and a small gateway into the island. To enter the island, you just pay additional fee of 5,000 rupiah per person. On this small island, you can freely play on white sand or swim. Besides Love Island, you can also find the Dermaga Cinta or Love Dock at Dewi Mandapa Beach area. The dock is formed using shady mangrove trees which has been shaped into a kind of floating veranda on the sea. Unfortunately, there is only one wooden chair at the dock. Those who want to enjoy the beauty of the sea panorama from the Love Dock, you can sit on the dock floor that has been laid with neat boards. Visitors can watch the natural phenomenon of sunrise and sunset, or you can set a tent for camping in the location. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Dewi Mandapa Beach in Lampung province. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Sampai kapan lagi ku harus kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkinkah menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa sampai di sini. Kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini.
In the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next, we'll be talking about something interesting in Indonesia, it might be about an award received by Indonesian startup or application developer. It will be about the Nyayur.id. More about it will be in miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Nyayur.id application. Once again, wins international award. Nyayur.id re-highlights the name of Indonesia to the world. This application made by Imam Pesuwaryantoro and Fajar Budilaksono has just won the Startups XS Changemaker Seed Grand Opportunity 2020 competition at the end of January. This competition was held by the United States government in its journey. In this event, Nyayur.id successfully outperformed 1,300 participants from 63 countries such as the United States of America, India, Ghana, Costa Rica, Tanzania, India, Bangladesh, Denmark, and Nigeria. Nyayur.id is a smart farming platform that supplies agricultural goods and provides purchasing services. It provides the best class product from vendors, distributors, and farmers by supplying solutions such as the agricultural market, purchasing system, and inventory support for business owners as purchasing managers or duty managers, cost managers. Previously, this application also managed to qualify as a finalist representing Indonesia at the Technology Innovation Olympics 2019 at the Technology Nanyang University, Singapore in November 2019. This application was funded by Reynaldi Prasetya and his friends in May 2017. This application was downloaded by around 9,000 people, mainly in three cities, namely Salatiga, Central Java, Surabaya, and Jember in East Java in 2019. In general, this application brings together traders, producers with consumers directly. The users of this application can choose the menu of vegetables and fruits, spices, side dishes, food, washing shop, toiletries, coffee, tea, and milk, and fast food menus. According to Reynaldi, using the Nyayur application, consumers will get an advantage compared to other online vegetable businesses. Delivery can be done in the morning so that the consumers receive vegetable in a fresh state. They can also choose the delivery time starting from 5 a.m. until in the evening. That was Miscellany with the team Nyayur.id application again receive international awards. We will meet again in the next edition of the Miscellany. Thanks for listening.
menunggu dalam bimbang, adakah sungguhnya aku kasih yang kau inginkan? Biar aku yang pergi bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan? Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Ku menunggu dalam bimbang, adakah sungguhnya aku kasih yang kau inginkan? Biar aku yang pergi bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan? Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Jujur aku tak yakin bisa jalani hari tanpa dirimu. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan? Biar aku yang pergi bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
Well, we have presented a lot of good music and also good information from Indonesia. And now we would like to mix it with the next song. The next song will be from Betaria Sonata. And the title is Kau Tercipta Untukku, or You Are Created For Me. More about it in the next one.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present you a song titled Kau Tercipta Untukku by Betaria Sonata. Betaria Sonata, with the original name Sri Betaria Sonata, began her singing career since the 1980s. Her first album was released in 1981, titled Kau Tercipta Untukku. The album has a leading song with the same title, Kau Tercipta Untukku. Through this song, Betaria Sonata became popular in the Indonesian music industry, especially pop music. The song Kau Tercipta Untukku tells about a man and a woman who are determined by the creator to be a couple lover forever. Listener, here is the song Kau Tercipta Untukku. Happy listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Almost 1 hour we have been accompanying you with a lot of information and good music coming from our country. It seems that it's time for me to say goodbye. But, well, do not move anywhere because we from the Voice of Indonesia still got much more only for you. Well, do not forget to send your criticism, suggestion or also question to our email voi@voinews.id and also our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listeners, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned in The Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.